This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, Sia, you know what? I think we must bring our guest in because even though we've got rusks all over the studio, maybe she wants one. Amrita Acharya is our guest this morning, and she's been playing a lot of roles in shows that you may be watching. There's Good Karma Hospital, which is doing its second season on BBC Brit. That's DSTV Channel 120. It's every Monday from 7 May to 11 June, 8 o'clock. And it's a feel-good medical drama series, returns to tropical South India. She's the character Dr. Lydia Fonseca and her team. She's not that character, but that's the one. And her team faces new challenges. And she's Ruby Walker in that show. Stupid me. I haven't seen it yet. And she is here with us this morning. Hey, come on, grab a seat, sit down, make yourself comfortable. So this is very, very cool. Yeah, how are you? Come, have a. Do you want a rusk? We've got so many tons
of variety.
Someone sent us a ton of rusks this morning, so we're swamped with rusks. So anyway, so how are you? Nice to have you here. Come in.
You guys are up early.
No, it's very nice to have you here.
Every day.
All right, so tell us, Amrita, we get up early every morning. It's no big deal for us. I mean, look, don't we look fantastic?
Amazing.
Yeah, you're far too kind.
I know, I have a mirror. I can tell when you're lying. All right, so I'm very interested to hear about your time in Game of Thrones. I'm interested to hear about this new series that you're involved in. I want to talk about all the interesting things about your career, but I'm most fascinated. I read that you were actually born to Ukrainian and Nepalese parents.
Yeah, that's
right. It's a hell of a combination.
Yeah, it's not a bad pick and mix, is it?
That's interesting, right? No, because these things, we often talk about the kind of really exciting and strong genetic combinations that come from people who come from different parts of the world. And with your dad, who is from Nepal, and your mom, who is from the Ukraine, and you can speak Norwegian, you could speak Russian, you can speak Nepalese. I mean, this is quite something.
I mean, I can't speak all those languages. I can speak Ukrainian, English, and Norwegian.
But you can understand
others? I used to speak Nepalese as a kid, and then we moved away, so I sort of lost that a bit. But I'm sure if I went back, it would eventually filter back in, hopefully.
Because you were in Nepal in Kathmandu when you were quite young, right?
Yeah, I spent my childhood there.
How much of it do you remember?
I remember most of it, but I've translated all the conversations into English, so it's really bizarre to have memories that, you know, actually happened in a Nepalese language, but my brain's gone, oh, we'll just translate it into English for you, for your bank.
Well, I mean, what little bit we know about Kathmandu is obviously that it seems to me to be this mystical, superb, fantastic mountain hideaway that you know, everybody wants to go to in almost a pilgrimage fashion. And then you know that all the people are going climbing up the Himalayas that go there as well. But to grow up there, I imagine, would have been very, very different to being, you know, in London, for example, working in TV.
Yeah, it's very different. Obviously, it's changed since I was there as well.
Sure.
But yeah, I was brought up in Kathmandu Valley, and my sort of memories of it are quite fun and nice and
pretty.
Hot. It is quite pretty. Kathmandu Valley itself is obviously much busier than out in the mountains and the rural areas where my extended family lived. So that, yeah, so we'd go there in the summer holidays and stuff and hang and chill.
And do you compare that to like the time that you spent in Norway?
I don't think you can really compare the two because they're so different. You know, it's completely different worlds. But since I've moved around quite a lot during my life, I think it's just a given that places are going to be different, people are going to be different, and you just adapt and get on with it. I think it's kind of a fun thing to have done and to still continue to do.
All right, I want to talk about the role that you play, Ruby Walker, in this Good Karma Hospital, which we'll talk about in a second or two. But you were the Khaleesi's handmaiden in Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is such a massive show, and I think when you guys started it, you might have thought this is going to be big, but you had no idea.
No, it was one of my first jobs.
Really?
Yeah, so I didn't really know much about it. I just got told I had an audition for a HBO show. Mm-hmm. Wasn't even that aware of what HBO was, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I had my head stuck in books most of the time. So I went in for the audition, got recalled, and got the role. And then, yeah, I don't think anyone really realised how massive it was going to be. I knew that the books had a massive following.
Yeah, but you hadn't read them.
I read them.
Oh, you had read them?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So I enjoyed the read. So I had one and two before I went out and shot in, I believe, Belfast and Malta the first year, and then it was Croatia and Belfast the second year. So I was quite lucky; I was in the hot countries most of the time.
And did you know straight away this was going to be a hit show? Could you tell
there was
something going on?
Thought it was going to be a success. I don't think anyone would have. Well, maybe some people would have guessed the magnitude of it. But, I mean, when you look at it now, it's kind of obvious why it is a massive hit, because it sort of ticks so many boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it is sort of that fantasy genre, I think it does sort of have all the blood and the gore and the violence and the sass and the dragons and the, you know, it has everything. So
I'm working with a huge cast like that. I mean, obviously you would have done it in bits and pieces, so there were different units that were operating in different places. Were you in this enormous crowd of people the whole time, or was it quite intimate working on?
It was quite intimate in terms of the cast, because I was mainly with Amelia and her gang.
Right.
But obviously...
Yeah, you were like part of a retinue on the show, right?
But obviously there's a lot of extras. And then when we moved into season two, there'd be a lot more characters that came in and out as well. So it's intimate, but within a really large framework of people and crew and cast, and you know, so it's a really big production compared to, for example, the Norwegian show I was in a couple of years ago called Acquitted, which is a Scandinavian drama, and that's quite tiny in comparison. Mm-hmm. Even though I was probably working with the same amount of actors in general, the locations were smaller, you know.
Right, a little more intimate. Right.
Little villages and stuff. So I quite like that. I think it's quite fun to go from something really big to something really small and a completely different genre. And it's quite exciting. Keeps things spicy.
I mean, if this is one of your first jobs, that's a hell of a way to start.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of set the bar high, don't you?
Yeah, of course. Your expectations must have been enormous after that. You thought, where do I go next?
Well, I think the best thing is not to really have expectations. Have standards, but don't have too much expectations,
well,
I think.
Yeah, of course, but you can't help it if you're involved in a show like that. It must be just a little bit intimidating to audition alongside some of these, what are now, very well-known actors and actresses, and they perhaps weren't so well-known when you did it. And you're working on this project that could take you X number of seasons in, and then they kill your goddamn character at the end of the second season. What's that all about?
Well, as I always say...
Your character was meant to last throughout the books, right?
Yes, but as you know, it is an adaptation, so you can't get too annoyed about it. It's an adaptation, which means you adapt and you know, you change things, and I like a good plot twist. So
Amelia,
I had a good, you know, so I got a good two seasons out of it, which is more than some have had.
Sure, of course.
I do love killing,
and of course
killing the characters off.
You didn't get killed off in a vicious, violent way, did you?
Well, I was strangled, but I don't believe it made the actual cut, because it would have given away who did it, so I think they changed that in the edit.
So we didn't even get to see you die.
You can see it on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah, in the cut
take
scenes,
a look at
I think.
That. Yeah. All right, so Amelia, the Khaleesi.
Yeah.
What's it like working with her? What's she like?
She's fun. She's down to earth. I mean,
really?
Yeah, I like
chilled,
her. She's funny.
Easy to, yeah.
She's got a wicked sense of humour, which she probably still has. you know, hopefully that hasn't.
They
that
killed that off too.
They didn't kill that one off.
But yeah, do you find that people change also through the course of filming something like this? Because it's very people who've been in shows. You're working together. It's very intense for a short period of time, and then suddenly you don't see each other for months.
Yeah, that's sort of the nature of the game, I think.
Yeah, and you sort of move on, and people don't remain friends, because everybody has this idea that if you worked on a show, you know everybody on it.
No, you don't. You don't. And you know, it's easier if you move in the same circles, I think.
Yeah.
But it's hard to stay in touch. You have to make an effort, I think. But no, in general, unless you really click, you know, you're acquaintances.
Sure.
You know.
And you're working together. It's
it's
you don't get along
colleagues.
With everybody that you work with at the office.
You don't have to get along, but it helps.
Well, it helps not to have beef with anybody, I would imagine.
Oh, you sound like you're talking from experience.
I just imagine it could get very complicated if people really don't like each other and they have to work together, because then it's just acrimonious on set and...
I don't know, it depends if you like a good challenge or not. Spices things up.
Sounds like you might be in some level of experience.
Touché.
All right, Well, what about when the whole thing comes to an end and now you're back out there trying to get work, and you obviously pick up quite a lot of work very quickly. Clearly people like what you're doing, which is helpful, and obviously you know how to do the auditions properly, and then you deliver.
I really don't like auditions. They terrify me.
So,
but
how does it work? Tell us how an audition works. Are you literally lined up with a bunch of people in a corridor, and you go into a room?
You go into a room, and everyone else looks either like you or they look nothing like you.
Oh, wow.
And both are horrible, obviously, because you're like, oh, we look the same, or oh, we look different. And
everybody you're saying who's auditioning.
Yeah.
Right. So do they profile the kind of person that they're looking for, and then a whole lot of actresses and actors apply?
I think I find casting really bizarre sometimes. It must be such a difficult job. Because
mm-hmm.
you must either know exactly what you're looking for, and what if that doesn't walk through the door, or you must not know what you're looking for and you're just seeing everyone. You know, so I don't... It's like a really bizarre job. I mean...
Yeah. Well, it's almost as bizarre as acting.
Yeah, totally. It sounds really fun, though. Like, I've been in... I've cast things when I've directed... small theatre shows or whatever.
Right.
So it's quite a fun process. You know, and you have to have quite a bit of a poker face, I think. But nowadays things are changing. Like, when I first came out of drama school, everything was in the room. So you would have to go in and meet the casting director and do your lines that you really hope that you remembered, because maybe you just got them like 5 hours before. Sometimes you get more prep time. But these days, a lot of it's going on self-tape. So you can just bang out as many takes as you want in your room, you know.
And then you submit that,
yeah,
and they have a look, and it's anonymous, and you don't have to actually meet the people until you get the job.
Well, I guess it depends, because sometimes you'll then get recalled, and then maybe that is in the room, or sometimes it isn't. So it's interesting. I think I probably prefer taping, because you are a bit more relaxed in your own environment, but then being in the room, you get to make an impression on somebody, and you can take a bit of direction and stuff. So I think there's pros and cons. But it is an odd process. I mean, it's like going into a job interview every day and being told that soz, but somebody else is getting it because, you know, you're not good enough.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. I mean, you wouldn't be able to do that in modern HR.
No. But when you do get the job, it's brilliant.
Sure.
You know,
especially
you're like
if it's a great
cloud
job.
Nine, yeah.
So this Norwegian thing, what did you call it?
It's called Acquitted.
Acquitted.
Season 2.
Okay. We haven't seen that.
Oh, well, you should. It's pretty dark.
No, I will. Don't worry. I mean, I'm going to have to go and look at this now. Now that we've met, I've got a good reason to do it. All right, so is this one of those dark Scandinavian things?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's all like murder and who did what.
What is going on with them? What's up with all of this?
I don't know. It's like...
crime stuff that they love.
But people love crime.
Yeah, but what is it with the Scandinavians that they have such an obsession with this morbid... It's a fascination, right? It's a uniquely Scandinavian thing. I mean, there are all these books that have come out. They've been turned into movies and TV
shows.
Maybe
they're just smart and they know what sells.
I don't know. No. Somebody said to me a while ago, it's because they don't have enough sun.
It might be. I mean, you know, I spent my teens in northern Norway in Tromsø, and
that's very high up.
That's very far away. You know,
what, 3 months of decent light, and the rest of it is pretty much darkness?
No.
Is it not that bad?
I guess I carried away.
Well, tell me.
I had exaggeration.
I've never
been. I think there's... So you get your summers, and then it's 24-hour sun. You know, they've got the Midnight Sun Marathon and stuff.
24 hours of sun.
Which is, like, really annoying, because you're trying to go to sleep, and it's really sunny. So, for me, I found that more difficult than the darkness, which is kind of like... It's cozy, you know, and there's Christmas lights because it's around Christmas time.
Right, but you go through a 24-hour night as well.
Yeah, that's only for not 3 whole months, because it gradually sort of, you know how the days
are
short.
Sure.
It's a bit more like that, but a lot more dramatic. You know, all of a sudden it's like, it's dark. And then
and it doesn't get light.
And it doesn't get, but you get the northern lights, which is fun.
No, look, it's very romantic. It's very beautiful. I would love to go
really
to Norway.
Maybe that's got something to do with that.
Sure. But I do think that they have a very different outlook on things. All right, in this series.
Which one?
The one that you're talking about now.
Acquitted.
Did you also have to have a character that was killed or strangled or murdered? Because
No, thank God. It's quite fun to play her because she's quite different. She's like super close. She's a lawyer.
Okay.
So she's the defense lawyer.
All right.
She's quite young and a bit closed and a bit... awkward. So that was quite fun, because I'm not particularly closed. So it's quite fun to play somebody that's completely different from me.
And acquitted is in English?
Acquitted is in Norwegian.
Norwegian?
Yeah.
Okay, do they do an English version?
They do a subtitled version.
Okay. Well, so you're speaking Norwegian through the whole thing?
Yeah, with my slight English twang.
No, well, that's all right.
Yeah.
And the Norwegians probably appreciate it. Yeah, it's nice to know. You know, we made ABBA sing in English. So I suppose it's only fair that you get to do some Norwegian. All right, let's talk about the Good Karma Hospital.
What do you want to know?
Well, it's coming on second season on BBC Brit, which is on our DSTV channel 120. Mondays from the 7th of May, so it's already starting until the 11th of June. You are this Ruby Walker. You come in looking for a job, and you've just had your heart broken.
In the first series,
yes. Yeah. And now you settle in India, and you feel that it's time for you to... like, start getting into this hospital, and you're working as a doctor, and what happens?
So the first season, we leave Ruby when she's decided to stay, because her ex comes back from England, and there's all this, oh, shall we get together again? Maybe not. All this sort of stuff. And then she's like, no, I'm going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get into season two, it picks off sort of a bit of time has passed, and she's sort of settled in, and she's got her new apartment and new hobbies, and... gets a new bike and all this sort of stuff, and then there's like a big blast from the past, and some relatives get in touch with her, and so I think it's about her sort of going. So she's half British, half Indian, but she has never had contact with the Indian side of her family. Mm-hmm. So when she does get, you know, a letter, she decides to go and check it out, and it's kind of about whether she's ready to face that or not, and then the usual sort of doctor things. Okay. Appendixes, babies, power cuts.
But this is not the Grey's Anatomy.
In what sense?
Well, I mean
it's not because it's the Good Karma Hospital.
Yeah, of course. No, obviously. But I mean, a lot of these things from ER to Grey's Anatomy, they kind of have these dreamy doctors and these...
Mac dreamy, Mac steamy. You know,
yeah. You're trying to tell me that I'm not dreamy?
Well, you are. But I'm saying that it's not cheesy like that, is it?
I wouldn't say it's cheesy, no. It's... I mean, it's set in India, which takes some of the cheese away because you're sort of dealing with, you're dealing with the usual medical stuff. But when you set it in India, there's a whole load of other factors that come into it. And what's really interesting about this show is that it's based on the writer is a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on his experiences in South Africa.
Because
he came here as a young doctor and worked in, you know, the overcrowded hospitals. I don't know where in South Africa, but...
probably in any of us. Pick a rural area and you've got an overcrowded hospital.
Exactly. So I think it's sort of based on his experiences of that and sort of dealing with, you know, as a British doctor, when you're used to the NHS and the system out there, what it's like to come into a place that doesn't have all those things in place. You know, and the NHS is far from perfect, but in terms of... when you're really understaffed, and then there's all these socioeconomic factors that come into play as well, you know. So it deals with a lot of...
that gives you a lot of depth to the stories.
Yeah, you know, and it's still... I mean, we only have 47 minutes to get in all the character storylines,
sure.
The story of the week, and then play into the fact that it's in India. So when we're dealing with things like surrogacy or homosexuality, you know, how that... would then affect whatever's going on in the medical world is always affected by what's the society that they are in.
Right, it's so, the context.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think that's kind of the difference with the show, that you do sort of try and delve into that a bit more.
When you approach a character like this, do you like to create a whole inventory of backstory stuff, or is that kind of given to you, or is it not necessary to go so deep? Because if you're playing a character for a season or two of a show... it kind of helps to figure out exactly what that character is and how they differ from you and what they would have done and who they would have been involved with. And you almost have to create this incredibly detailed world in your head so that you can make it seem real to us.
Yeah, are you a closet actor?
No, I'm curious. I'm interested in what your process is.
No, it is. I mean, I love storytelling and I love detail and I love, like I said, characters that are different from me. So even if a character... like Ruby, who probably out of all the characters I've ever played, in terms of rhythm, it's probably quite similar to me. it was really important to find how she differs to me and why she's different. And yeah, I think a backstory is really important, especially when you've got a character that's coming away from her world to somewhere that she's never been. You need to know what her world was, you know. So yeah, you do get a backstory more often than not from the writer team and production, but you know, you still get to play within that and decide what kind of person she is a bit more. So yeah, to answer your question, yes, I do that for all my characters. I do like to have a detailed background story for myself, and then you just sort of put it to one side. The great thing about being on shows over a lot of episodes, and now, you know, we're going to season 3 as well, is to sort of see what the writers come in with, and then the writers will bat off what you are bringing in as well. So it kind of becomes more of a collaboration.
Input into that.
You do. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the writer's baby, so they get the say. But I think what's nice is that you sort of see a sort of, it's like a game back and forth, that you're giving something, you get something back, and you just sort of develop this character and this identity, which is fun, you know.
There's so many actors who don't get to make it as professionals, who can do that as their job,
yeah,
for a living. But you mentioned something earlier that I thought was interesting. You said it depends on what circles you're in, and you know, obviously, if you make friends in a certain show and you stay friends, you stay in contact, then you can keep up that relationship. But I imagine working as you do, which mostly occurs in London, I assume. You've been in Norway for a lot of this stuff, but yeah, that's kind of your community of actors, if there is such a thing. I mean, is there such a thing in London? Because we know in LA that there are certain sort of cliques. In New York, there's a certain group of people. They sort of hang out together, or at least they're very much in proximity to each other and work on things. Is there any kind of...
I think there are groups of people and communities of people. My work has taken me out, even if it is British shows, like Good Karma, they've sort of taken me outside of London.
Right.
So I wouldn't say I'm necessarily...
You don't hang around with a whole lot of actors.
Not necessarily,
actresses.
No. It's more individuals that I've gotten to know, I think. But I should probably make an effort to try and socialize a little bit more.
networking, right?
Networking, yeah, which I'm like really rubbish at.
That's how you get the good scripts and all of that stuff.
But yeah, there is that. And, you know, when you go to events, you obviously meet a lot of cool people. So there is definitely scope for that, but I think you have to actively participate in it, and that's probably something I could do more of.
So what are you doing here in South Africa?
Well, I'm just chilling with the cheetahs.
Oh, that's nothing wrong with that. Should get eaten by them. I saw a video the other day someone put up of this. No one get eaten, Sia. Okay. It almost happened. This bunch of tourists in, I don't know where it was, some wildlife park, a game farm or something, and they stopped their car and got out and started taking pictures.
Yes.
And these cheetahs started stalking them, and luckily they made it back into the car. But I mean, you turn your back and run away from those animals, they're primed by instinct to try and kill you.
No, we went to the lion and rhino park.
Yes.
You didn't get out though,
did you?
No, I adhere to the rules.
That's smart.
I'm only naughty when it's allowed. So
then it's not naughty.
Then it's not so naughty. Yeah, I only break the rules when no one can see me. So anyway, I kept the shape as I was told to.
Right.
Took my snaps within a good distance. But we did get to play with the baby cheetahs, because apparently they don't
have
killing
instinct.
So
you're here on a holiday?
No, I'm here for
for
you
the
guys.
Show,
yeah,
to promote.
So we did
So you're doing a promotion tour for the show. Okay, I got you.
But yesterday I had a great time at...
It's fun. You get to travel around and talk about
it's
your
awesome. And it's my first time in South Africa, and I was really excited.
What do you think
I've never
so
been.
Far?
I really love it. You know, I'm really gutted I won't get to Cape Town, but now that I've been in Johannesburg, I'm definitely going to come back.
Right.
I had a brilliant time yesterday at the National School of the Arts. That was
okay.
And chatted with the kids there, and they were really—they're so talented. But it was really super.
Yeah, they'll tell you how talented they are.
Yeah. No, they showed me how talented
straight
they were.
Straight away. How do you know someone's been to the National School of the Arts? They tell you they've been to the National School of the Arts.
No, they were really fun. I really, really enjoyed my time there, and we had cupcakes.
All right.
Yeah.
And were you going back soon?
To where? The National School of the Arts?
No, away from South Africa. Back to the National School.
I'm actually going to Stockholm to see my
parents.
One
visit's enough. They're in Stockholm still.
They live in Norway and Stockholm. And my sister lives in Copenhagen, so we've covered all of Scandinavia. We like to.
You're basically, you're an international, you're a global citizen. I like
exactly.
This is the way to start thinking
like
about
that. So yes, I'm headed there.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming to visit us
Thanks
today.
For having me.
Yeah, good to see you.
Good to see you.
And pop by some other time when you when you're in between playing all these roles and juggling all these characters and, you know, going to National School of the Arts and talking to a whole bunch of...
talented people.
Yes. Yeah. You put words
Let's
in my mouth.
To that, please. Good. Thank
See, you should have been at the National School.
Do you know, I so wanted to because in my head, I don't know, I just feel like it's like that movie Fame and everyone walks down the corridor singing together.
Yeah, it'd be horrible if you were.
So you're saying I'm talented. Thank you. Yes. Anyway, moving on.
Right. All right, everybody. Well, what a great start to our morning. Amrita, what a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
Ben, make sure that Amrita takes some rusks with her. Someone sent us like 2,000 rusks this morning, so we have to palm them off on everybody we see. And there it is. So if you haven't seen the show yet, you need to watch Good Karma Hospital, second season on BBC Brit. It's on every Monday from the sort of couple of days ago already until the 11th of June. 8 o'clock in the evening on DSTV channel 120.
This is CliffCentral.com.